Welcome along, everyone. This is Paul coming at you today with another bonus episode. Not so much of the countdown, but featuring Wayne and I. We're trying to release a sort of bonus episode every month or so for you to say thanks for all your support of the show. And this month, a whole bunch of people got together after a discussion in our Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes. When we got talking about whether It from 2017 in the lead up to the sequel, which has just been released, whether it was actually any good. And sort of half the podcasters in the chat thought it was and half thought it wasn't. So we decided to organize a bit of a mass debate. This was run by Sam from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. And then on either side of the ledger, we had the boys from We Watch The Thing, Billy and Topher, the boys from IMDb Journey podcast, Hendo and Dean, Duty from Shaken Not Nerd, who you'll be familiar with having guested on this show a couple of times, popped up, and then myself as well. And Wayne was along for special comments. So the madness which follows is our first attempt at this format. Not sure how often we'll give it another bash, but it was a lot of fun on the day. And as you'll hear, it goes a little bit off the rails on occasion. So kick back, relax, and if you've seen it and have a strong opinion one way or the other, I'm sure you're going to have some fun with this. Cheers.
Hello, awesome listeners, and welcome to the Movie Mess Debate. I'm Sam Hurley. You might recognize me from such podcasts as Movie Reviews and 20Qs, or unfortunately the subject of several true crime podcasts on public nuisances. I am your host and judge for this evening on what is our inaugural episode of the Movie Mess Debate. But wait, you don't know the rules to the Movie Mess Debate? Well, why the fuck would you? It's our first attempt at this, and here goes. Shortly, I'm going to introduce three people who will make up Team Positive Posse. They are going to be taking turns presenting an argument why this episode's movie, It, from 2017, is a good movie. But alternating between them and competing against them is the Negatrons, who will be arguing why this movie sucks. To mix things up, a member from each opposite team will be drawn at random and will try and retort their competitors' points. Whoever wins the round will get a point, and we'll tell you the points at the end before going on to the championship round, where these guys will be playing for 3 points. A representative from each team will make their final case on behalf of their team for why it's good or why it sucks. Now guys, I will be judging based on presentation, facts, passion, logic, and of course the quality of your insults. Now I have no bias when it comes to the movie whatsoever, and I can be swayed either way. I also have no bias when it comes to all of you competitors, as I dislike you all equally. But enough of that, let's meet the teams, and we'll go through it alphabetically. First up from the Positive Posse, it's Daniel from the IMDb Journey podcast. How are you, Daniel?
Captain, I guess you could say, since I'm first in line. I'm doing well, Sam.
Excellent. Next up, it's Duty from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast. How are you, Duty?
I'm planning a mutiny already, but we'll just see how it goes.
That's what I want to hear. And finally, Paul from the Countdown podcast. How are you, Paul?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Now we move on to the Negatrons. First up, it's B Dizzle from the We Watch the Fig podcast. How are you, B Dizzle?
Firstly, I don't know what's so funny about that. I'm doing good, though. I'm heaps better than this movie, so...
Ooh.
I'm not allowing it. We haven't started the time yet. I'm just going to pretend I didn't hear that.
The truth.
Oh, good. The soundboard's here.
Yeah, soundboard's here.
Fucking hell.
And we've got the other half. Some might say the cuter half of the IMDb journey. Dean, how are you, Dean?
Yeah, feeling exceptionally cute today. Thank you. Glad to be here.
You must have a new haircut.
Excellent.
I actually do, like 2 days ago. I'm not even kidding.
Cool story, bro. And then finally, we have Topher from We Watch The Thing. How are you, Topher?
Oh, well, I wasted the better part of 3 hours with Chapter 2 today, so I'm pretty average.
Now, if I'm going to judge these guys, and let me get this out of the way first, okay? This is pretty much every New Zealander's wet dream is judging a bunch of Australians and having them suck up to him. This is like fucking, I've got the biggest hard-on I've ever had in my entire life. Can't get over it. But I'm going to need help judging these guys, you know, assessing the quality of your insults. And of course, if you're going to do that, you need to bring in Wayne from the Countdown podcast. How are you, Wayne?
What up, kids? I'm doing all right. What's up? I have no idea what the hell I'm doing. I stand resolute.
Shut up, motherfucker! I can't bring you a jizzbag fucking thing onto this show, you fucking... It's all right.
The infection is spreading. Okay, Positive Posse, you guys are up first. Pick someone from your team to lead you off, and once you guys have picked that person, I'm going to tell you who will be retorting you.
Well, surely this self-proclaimed captain should go first.
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
What a way to start. In a cruel twist of fate, you're never going to guess who your retorter is. It's Dean.
Oh, what an easy win.
Beat him up.
I tell you what, with 2017's It, the characters that you have in this film are just incredibly fleshed out. These young kids and the camaraderie they have between each other is just, it's stellar. The acting on from all these people is astounding for such young actors in the game to come in and just create this awesome team of young kids who are just working together. It's set in the 80s as well. Like, if you feel their spirit as they journey around trying to solve what the hell is going on with this Pennywise and why these kids are missing. You've got each individual character who has their own sort of personality as well. You got Beverly here, who's the only female in the group, but she teaches them as well about femininity. She's the one who's having one of the most difficult times at home with her rapey dad along the way here. You've got Richie, the smart ass of the crew, who's just a little downright shit, but Finn Wolfhard plays it fantastic. You can tell he's had a bit of experience with this, you know, from Stranger Things. You've got bloody, who's the other guy? Eddie. Jack Dylan Grazer. I mean, you can tell why he got the role in Shazam because of this neurotic little kid who he knows his shit, but everyone just gives him hell for it because back in the 80s, when you're around in a kid group like this, you're not supposed to act like that. You're supposed to be cool and you don't give a shit. But this guy, he's so, you know, he's worried about absolutely everything. It's honestly, it's fantastic. I'm going to save a bit more of my characters for later, but I want to hear why Dean thinks these characters aren't good at all.
You open by gee, thank you. I only said a few words there. You open by saying these characters are fleshed out. That is a load of shit. These are characters who are the ultimate stereotypes we got here. We got the fat one, the girl one, the nerdy one. I can't believe how little these characters are fleshed out, how underdeveloped all these characters are. Tell me who has an arc in this story. It's ridiculous. You say Finn Wolfhard was good. All he is doing here is riding his fucking wave from Stranger Things. That's not a good thing. That's a bad thing.
This is what lazy. The soundboard, lads.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Have at it, guys. Let's go at it, Jella.
What the fuck are you doing, Paul? This means nothing, you fucking... Just fuck off!
Can I just ask you, mate, what do you think of Stand By Me?
Stand By Me is a classic.
Okay, what do you think? What do you think of Corey Feldman's character? Is he not Richie? Do you not like Corey Feldman's
character? So you admit that all this film is doing is taking things that worked so well in the past and dredging it up into this new film.
You're saying these kids are stereotypes.
This film is appealing to all these people who haven't seen much, much, much better versions of it. Is this a Stand By Me or is this meant to be a horror?
These characters are exactly like they portray those characters the same as they do in Stand By Me. What is the difference here? They act perfect in this film. I don't understand how you can go and say Stand By Me where these characters, an 80s film, how they go on a journey compared to It here, where it's basically the same thing. And you say, oh, no, this one's shit compared to
Stand By Me was made in the 80s. It feels authentic. This stuff here, like you've even said before that you felt like the 80s nostalgia was overdone in this film.
When did I say that?
In your review that I just read. Yeah, argue with yourself, Hendo. Good luck.
At least I had some detailed words to say. What was the one you said? The two word, it's shit?
It's shit, half a star. And I rated that 2 years ago before I ever knew I would have to come on a podcast and defend that. Half a star. It's not like you're giving it five stars.
What are your actual detailed thoughts of the film? Oh, that's right. You turned it off. You didn't have an idea about
this
film.
Three fucking times I tried to watch this film. Three times. And every single fucking night I fell asleep. And I'm not even saying it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like 8:30. I'm trying to watch
you
this movie.
You cannot use that as
it
a debate.
It is so boring. No, this
is the most sleepiest
debate.
One of the most tiredest people I've ever met in my life. We sit there and watch like fucking action films. And you're like...
I have never fallen asleep in a movie until I watched It.
I've seen you record an episode of our show, and I'm like, oh, Dean, what do you have something to say? And you're asleep.
Obviously, has anyone listened to our show? That's right. I will throw our show under the bus just to make the point that It is fucking boring, and the characters and performances in it do not help it at all. Let's look at someone like Henry, this bully. Explain this character to me. The first fucking time we see this guy, he says, I've given you 8 months off because, you know, Georgie and all that stuff. What? Since when is this character ever going to be that empathetic again?
There's no reason to.
Yeah, exactly. There's no consistency in this character.
What are you talking
about?
He
will fucking torture kids and kill his dad, but he won't bully this kid because his brother
died.
That
was Pennywise that did that to him. What are you talking about? He got him to do that. He was under the trance of Pennywise by the time he killed his dad.
Oh, we want to talk about Pennywise.
Yeah, dude,
so
Bill Skarsgård, fantastic. To me. Absolutely fantastic performance by Bill Skarsgård. You know, puts in a stellar performance. 10 times better than Tim Curry. No, man, that was shit.
How
was
dare
terrible.
You?
Terrible.
Tim Curry
terrible.
Cannot be touched.
The Tim Curry Pennywise was an actual clown, a laugh out loud clown.
No.
Bill Skarsgård. What he does, what he does with his eyes, his crazy eyes.
Oh, anyone can go fucking cross-eyed.
I'm not part of this.
Hey, you're not part
of
this.
Good
Billy.
Point.
That wasn't cross-eyed. He was spreading his eyes the other way.
And so heated.
Oh, so heated.
I think we didn't expect anything worse.
Yeah, no, this shit is fucking brutal. You are all some brutal motherfuckers.
That's right. Captain Hindo's coming in hard.
Captain Hindo, you did come in very hard. Unfortunately, Dean just got you with too many good knocks there, mate. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give that first round to Dean.
Ding, 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 ding.
How can you give it to Dean? He hasn't finished the film.
Oh, that was heated. But yeah, Dean, sorry, mate. He just got you a few too many times there, Dan.
He needs a win against me.
Okay, we'll take someone from the negative team now, and since we've completely fucked up how to work this out, we're going to just basically, we'll go B-Dizzle next. B-Dizzle, what are you talking about? And then we'll have your competitor reveal themselves as to what they're talking about, basically.
All right, I will be talking about plot and pacing and things of that variety.
Okay.
Excellent. I will be arguing the pro.
Oh, awesome. Okay, Negatons, lead us off, or Negatrons.
Okay, so as I said, I'll be talking about plot. Or will I? Because what fucking plot? you have literally the best book written by one of the best living horror writers today, and this is the fucking piece of shit you put out? Like, seriously, in the book, the 50s is such a character, and here, they're just trading on nostalgia. They updated to the 80s for no reason other than Stranger Things was a big hit at the time, and it just... It adds absolutely nothing to the story, of which there is none to begin with, because let's just get rid of everything that Stephen King wrote and just have a fucking clown. Let's literally make it all about a clown just trying to terrorize these kids. Every scene is just, like, the pacing is completely off. It's like it doesn't know whether it just wants to throw zingy one-liners out there or whether it wants to be a horror film, because nothing is scary. Like, there is not a single scary shot in this film. It's just a clown running at the camera 20 times in a row. And, like, it just doesn't work on any level. There's, as Dean already touched on, the consistency is all over the place. Like, I just feel like I don't even have any more to say. I don't understand how this movie became so renowned. I want you to rebut me right now, Paul. I want to know what it is. I just want to know what it is you people love about this movie, because I don't understand it.
Well, let's begin, of course, with a tried and tested.
Bitch, please.
And move on.
I didn't say that. He hit a damn button.
And move on to suggest that if you, good listener, and you, of course, Judge Sam, Kiwi extraordinaire, awesome individual, Marvel cinematic
good argument,
hero
sir.
Coming to be.
There's some cum on your lips. I'm calling it.
keep going,
if,
Paul.
If you and indeed the listener would like to believe a man who somehow believes that Tommy Boy is a comically genius film. When he tells you,
I will go to my grave to defend Tommy Boy.
When he tells you this film isn't funny, well then, be that on your head, because this film is really funny. I think that's one of the great strengths, is it crosses these genres. This film is a coming-of-age film as well as a horror film, and it has some great comedic moments because it's a coming-of-age film. Of the 40-odd Stephen King adaptations that there have been, there's only a handful that are even half decent. The rest are all fucking pants. So it was up against it from the get-go. There's no Frank Darabont attached to this. There's only Andy Muschietti, Gary Dolberman, and Cary Fukunaga, and another dude I can't remember off the top of my head who wrote the script. And they made the decision to move it to the 80s, not because they were trading on Stranger Things nostalgia, but because they needed to update it to make it relevant to the modern age and the kids who were going to go along and see this film. And you want to know how successful it was? It's not all about money. But this 135-minute film made $700 million worldwide at the box office on a $35 million budget. This film killed it. It's the biggest September opening of all time. It's the biggest horror opening of all time. Actually, biggest take of a horror film of all time. It is absolutely incredible the phenomenon this film was, because everybody responded, critics, and audiences alike, except for these three tools on the opposite side of the table here, to the fact that this spoke volumes. There was a character in there for everyone. I don't want to get too far into characters, but in terms of that, there's something for everybody here. And in particular, I found that, yeah, I will 100% agree with one point. It's not that scary. It's not that frightening, but it is creepy.
What are you
creepy.
Doing, Paul?
Oh, it's creepy.
He's thrown it.
Hold on. It's unsettling in places. Unsettling? That's the real power of this film. It's
Anyone can go cross-eyed. If that's unsettling to you, I'd
He's
watch
using
out.
His lazy eye.
If that's your strong point, he could go cross-eyed. Like we've said, his eyes go out, yes. Not in.
It's a lazy.
You try and do that right now. I'd love to see it.
Okay, I changed my mind. This film's awesome.
I think that really the pacing of this film is amazing. It starts off with a killer scene, which they did spoil a lot in the trailer, but having Georgie get his arm torn off, and that's perfectly played. It's like showing that we're playing for keeps here. Little kids can be killed and are frequently through the course of the film.
That scared my fanny off.
Yeah, there you go. The man sitting next to me jumped three times.
He hit his fucking arm! The kid's fucking arm!
Whoa. But you're talking about Wayne. So,
but he was representative of the cinema that I was in. We were in an advanced screening, which was it was full to the rafters with people, and everyone was jumping out of their seats, except for seasoned veterans like my good self. But even me, there's a scene where Pennywise folds out of his fucking fridge, and it's creepy as fuck. Yes, he's rushing at the camera after he does so, but it actually worked for me. And then the scene that everyone talks about, which is when he comes out of the steel pictures and is looming over the top of them. This is pretty good. I'd say better than that. I'd say this is magnificent horror filmmaking. I'm saying four-star territory. If you guys sit there and shit all over it and just like, you know, drop trowel and try and shit on it, it makes no sense. It comes from a place of Tommy Boy love, and I don't understand it.
Everyone knows Beverly Hills Ninja was better.
Get out.
I'm glad you're on no one's team there, Wayne. Interesting, Paul. Interesting. Okay, you two can now have at it.
Look, I mean, you're right. The movie made a lot of money. It made nearly as much as Suicide Squad, so it must be a masterpiece. You're absolutely right, Paul. You are absolutely right.
Except Suicide Squad's a superhero film, which in and of itself means it will automatically make $800 million, and if it doesn't, then you're doing something very, very wrong, and I will now look at all the rest of the WB films.
Good counterpoint.
It is the book that got me into horror.
It's one of the best books ever written.
It is. And of course, you can't get 1,100 pages into 5.5 hours of film. It's just not possible.
Try not fuck it up. What made the book so special is the way that it jumps between the adult timeline and the kids' timeline. To me, splitting them like this made absolutely no sense, because the kids' timeline on its own, it's not that interesting without that perspective of looking back.
Well, you make that point, but it also jettisoned out things like, you know, group sex orgy between children, Billy. So if you're behind that, all the rest of
look, I'm not saying I want to see an 11-year-old gangbang, and clearly Mr. King was on a lot of coke at the time.
But if you have to.
You know what? That would have been a brave fucking move to put that in.
I had to make that creative decision, and it's the only way that this film. Otherwise, if it gets halfway through the book and just stops, I mean, that's just never going to work. And it does it so much better than 1990 piece of shit miniseries that.
Oh, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Yes, the 1990 miniseries is cheesy, but it is one of the most faithful King adaptations I've ever seen, and that is actually its biggest strength.
So wait, the kid orgy was in that one?
The 1990s one, while cheesy, it actually is so much more nuanced plot-wise and character-wise than this film. Like, it is much better execution, just cheesy as fuck.
You obviously remember things very differently through that Tommy Boy.
All right, guys, let's lay off Tommy Boy.
Yeah, I'm going to call it, guys. I've heard enough from you both. Billy, you're already on a hiding to nothing with the whole Tommy Boy comments. That was straight out of the gate. Almost got offset by sucking up to the judge. I like it, but I don't love it. But I'm still going to give it to Paul. Paul, I think you had too many points there to counter Billy's argument. And then that moves us over to final round, which is Duty getting retorted by Topher, and that is around production values. So, Duty, why don't you lead us off?
Well, look, the production values of it. Before I start, I don't want to get. This is a debate about the film. This isn't a debate about some movie that someone else likes that has nothing to do with it. This is about the filming. This is about the production, and this is about the score and everything for this film. So, if you come around and say something about fucking Aquaman, fuck off. Number one. But the production values, the score, the set designs, the costumes, everything about this film, even the small little details about it, is absolutely fucking fantastic. So even now, as we're talking, I've got this film on in the background. The score of this film is outstanding. Seeing in the first sort of opening scene with Georgie and Pennywise in the sewer, before Pennywise is introduced, it's that happy, charmy sort of music. But if you just listen to the score and sort of zone out with the conversation, or if you just listen to the soundtrack on Spotify, you can tell when Pennywise is talking, because the music goes from that happy, charming, and then it sort of goes into like the notes of the score are missing keys and stuff like that, and it's getting a bit weird. But then when it goes back to Georgie's shot, it goes back up into an uplifting sort of energy, if you will. And then, of course, when he gets his arm ripped off, we get the great sort of score. So the score for this film is outstanding. But even if you look at things such as the set design in the bathroom, where all the blood comes out of the sink, drenches the entire bathroom, and then later on in the film, you see like there's one drop of blood that didn't get cleaned. In certain shots, you can actually see that one drop of blood that just hasn't been touched. So it's that small, tiny, tiny pieces of attention to detail that, you know, when you watch the film back to front, like I always do when I watch a fucking film, is you notice those little small things that when you go back to it, it sort of helps you immerse yourself in the world, you sort of have a connection to the characters and all that sort of stuff like that. And as a big score guy, the score for this film is fucking outstanding.
Topher, what have you got?
So rewatching this film the other night, which is something I never thought I would do again, but I did it just for you, Sam, because I respect you so much as a person. unsurprisingly, very poor experience. The only good thing about it was the locally produced Tempranillo that I smashed while doing it. And you know, a nice bottle of wine would go nicely with a lot of this film, because so much of it is shot in this kind of idyllic, sun-drenched sort of a way. Half the film looks like the sumptuous photography of Call Me By Your Name, not a horror film. And yeah, that might lend itself pretty well to the coming-of-age element of this film, but for a film that's called It and should maybe be about, you know, fear, given that's what this guy's all about, the film should be shot in a manner that lends itself to a curtain of fear falling upon this entire town, not just, isn't the weather nice, let's go jump on our bikes and have a rollicking good time. The film, let's talk effects. It was brought up earlier, Pennywise coming out of the, which up until that point, the slideshow thing is a pretty cool scene. Then Pennywise comes out looking like a cartoon on celluloid and robs it of any tension or fear that it might otherwise have had. Now, it had a budget of $35 million, I think, which, like, for a big special effects film is not huge. It's nothing on, like, an MCU film, for instance. It is, however, more than twice the budget of a film that won an Oscar for visual effects in Ex Machina. Like, it can be done. You don't just have to revert to weird camera shakes when Pennywise runs at the screen and, once again, rob a scene that could have had any tension of all of that, no matter how great the score was.
Ooh, well done, boys.
I have a retort to said retort.
Oh, go ahead, man. Let's get into it.
Your opening point about the film being sort of glazed in sun is the premise of the film is based at the end of the school year into the summer break. So the whole thing is, yep, you know, going back to an earlier point, Henry didn't pick on Billy because of Georgie died, and that school ending, they're going into summer, they're outside of school, they're outside of the protection of teachers, and Pennywise is essentially, he can go wherever he wants during his sort of 27-year, that period in the 27 years of his sort of his feeding time, and it sort of gives you that unsafe eeriness of, it's summertime, it's hot. Yeah, you know, they're running around, they're swimming in like dams and all that sort of stuff. But we see in a scene that Pennywise is sitting by essentially a little river, eating a kid's hand and waving to people with their hand. Like, it's that sort of, it doesn't matter what the location, the weather, anywhere, like Pennywise will get you. And the whole sort of thing of the losers is it's a group of friends who they started off as four and then they grow to seven, and sort of having that friendship over summer and defeating a sort of a demonic space clown, you know, from their summer break. That's sort of my retort for the sort of the summertime and the issue you're having in regards to the horror aspect of it.
Yeah, look, I think that can we've got a really recent example of that being done really well with Midsommar, where the amount of light in that film actually becomes oppressive, whereas here it's just idyllic and I think acts as a respite from what is meant to be a horror film.
Yeah, see, I just can't necessarily agree with that, because I find when the scenes that Pennywise comes out, he does appear from the shadows. Like, of course, the Georgie scene, it's raining, he's in the sewers, fair enough. But where Mike is essentially, he's seeing his burning parents sort of come out of the door, and then he's inside of a meat locker hanging, you know, by his neck. Or we see him sort of in the sewers, he is hiding in the dark, but he's always sort of appearing out of the shadows coming out. So you get that sort of, the kids are sort of safe, Pennywise is coming out. Then at the end of the film, they go, you know, fuck it, let's go after him. And they venture into darkness and into sewers to fight Pennywise. So it's sort of that the start of the sort of the 60 to 70% of the film is the sun with the darkness enclosing in, and then it's essentially kids going, well, fuck it, let's go after him, and them approaching the darkness.
Can anyone tell me if the painted lady was meant to look like a rubber version of Marilyn Manson?
I mean, that's just your interpretation of art.
Okay. I also like that zombie outside the random decaying Victorian mansion.
Was that actually
plucked from a late 80s Peter Jackson effort? Because, geez, it looks like it.
Take it back!
And I love late 80s Peter Jackson. Let's be clear on that.
Yeah.
I love all New Zealanders, actually, Sam.
Oh, this is hard, man. Wayne, what do you think? You got any thoughts?
I gotta say that the four team, these kids here,
yeah,
very like positive and nice, obviously. But see, what happened with the other team is that they got good jabs in.
It was
boom, 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 boom. Oh, fuck, 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 fuck. So, a real tough one here. I tend to go with the negative guys because, you know, I mean, horror movies are bullshit, so how could they not be right?
Fuck you, fuckball.
I vote for you, Wayne.
It's because of the soundboard, isn't it?
Well, I don't have to listen to Wayne, but...
I just don't think Wayne was listening. I think he was just zoning out, staring into his monitor.
With his eyes pointing in different directions.
It's hard, man. Duty, you had a lot of specifics that were like really well thought out and like, you know, and really, yeah, like enlightening in terms of how the film went. Topher, you had some real good comebacks to some of those and some real good insults and, you know, sort of, yeah, sure, like sucking up to me about New Zealand is fine.
Hey, man, I'm half Kiwi. You could have shown me some fucking love.
Exactly. But, oh, man, it's like flip a coin on both here. And since Wayne said the negative, I'm going to go with the positive.
Oh! What?
Dean, fist pump so high in the air then.
What is the point of having a co-host to help you decide if you're just going to go against him?
Look, I think we all can agree, whatever Wayne says, do the opposite, can't we?
That's right.
That is my mandate.
Okay, don't suck my dick. Woo! Anyway, that means that the final tally there is 2 points to the positives, 1 point to the negative, and now we're going to get straight into the final round. What we're going to do for the final round is we're going to have one representative from each team state their final case. They can touch on anything and everything about the film, just have free range at it, and then the negatives is going to do the same thing, have free range about the film, and then you're all going to argue with each other. So, positive posse, would you guys like to nominate one of you to deliver your final salvo?
Oh, I'm quite happy with Daniel to continue his emotional ways.
All right, sure.
I'm happy with that.
Well, let me just open up by saying
I will do no such thing. You listen here, all right?
let me just say I am not a big horror fan at all. Horror is my worst like genre. I can't stand. Yeah, exactly. But listen, if this horror film can get a 4-star out of me and be entertaining on such strong levels with some genuine scary moments, some fantastic characters, a well-written script, really good production values, great visual effects. How can you not say this is a bad film? If I hate horror films in general.
How can you say great visual effects?
It is great visual effects.
Yeah, it is terrible.
Man. Hey, all right?
And explain
up
to me this.
You'll get your turn soon, Dean. Let Daniel
shut up, Dean. Okay, I'm done.
Oh, you know, okay, sweet.
Can I finish? Okay, I finished.
All right, you explain this to me. This this villain, this big bad of this film, Pennywise, this is someone who he plans all these attacks, all these things to try and catch these kids. He gets defeated by things like, you know, closing a door, walking slowly up some stairs. He comes out in a garage. How are we going to defeat this big monster? I know. Let's open the garage door.
Yeah, oh, go on the light. Let's
put
the light
on him. Biggest retort right now.
Now, let me say to you, Dave.
I wasn't finished.
Oh,
all right?
God, okay.
You cut me off. Let me speak. I hadn't finished with how pathetic our villain is here, who's the way they defeat him for the time being at the end of the film is with bats, with sticks.
Oh, my God. Did you watch the fucking movie?
This is ridiculous.
Did you actually go back and watch it finally?
I did. I watched it. I watched it all.
You do realize that he plays on their fear, and he wants them to be as fearful as possible, and they defeat him by not being scared of him anymore. He's become...
They're not scared of him. He's not scary. Hold on. I'll just go out in the garden and get this little wooden pole, and we'll fucking hit him a couple of times, and he'll go. I'm not even sure how they can even make a sequel.
They all go down to that well as a team, as a community, as these friends that have banded together.
As a team.
The one who
actually says, guys, we need to defeat it as a team is Billy, right? You know what he does immediately after he says that? He sees his fucking dead brother and he goes and chases him alone. And don't tell me he thinks it's Georgie. He knows it's Pennywise because he picks up the gun when he goes to do it. Where is the consistency with these people?
The reason why that Pennywise is getting them scared, like the rolling up of the door and he's disappearing, is because the more scared, because Pennywise feeds on kids because he likes the way they taste. And the more scared they are, the greater they taste. So he's essentially seasoning the fuck out of these kids, going a bit of fucking
he's
fear,
getting some good garlic,
a bit of salt, some paprika, all of
but
that.
But why doesn't he do this all the time? Like, what about Henry's henchman Patrick? He's just walking around the drain and gets destroyed. Why?
That's right. If you're a main character, you're fine.
No, I can accept it if it's consistent.
The appetizer.
But the whole thing with this movie is let's just do what we think will look cool for a bit and then forget about what actual in-the-world rules we've set.
No, he's not a normal tradition. He's not a fucking Michael Myers of a cunt. He is a devourer of worlds. He is an extraterrestrial, demonic sort of creature. So he's not going to essentially abide by the rules
rules, though.
It is an issue, though, that if you do feed on fear, you probably should be scary. Like, I'm scared of Stranger Things, and I'm not scared of Pennywise.
But that's the thing. Like, he'll know what you're scared of and sort of turn into that. Like, essentially, we know that Richie is scared of clowns, so he doesn't necessarily need to do anything. We know that Eddie is fucking... He's having constant drugs, essentially... placebos, and
gazebos.
So he looks as gazebos, yes. So he looks like a leper and he's covered in diseases and stuff like that.
So why does he immediately change back to the clown? I thought his form was just what is most scary.
Dean,
you said that, he kills this Henry's mate, like, in an instant. How do you know he kills him? You see at the end, he has all the souls of all the people. Did he not just do the same to Georgie? Has he done the same to this guy? You assume that he's gone and killed him and eaten him.
Georgie survived getting his arm bitten off?
He's done exactly the same to every one of these kids he's found. He's got them. He's procuring them. He's getting them all together.
He's 7 years old, Hendo.
What the fuck are you talking about?
See, you don't even know.
You're not even listening to me.
Well, if you talk some sense, I would listen to you.
I've just gotten in a recent news report from my wife, and she says it's like those people who eat dogs. They torture them before they kill them because they taste better. That's
where
from
my come from?
What?
That's a lot.
She just messaged me.
Okay,
continue.
Yep, carry on.
I love the idea of Duty's wife in the background there, just googling shit that's really wrong,
and she didn't even know what we were talking about either.
I do know.
I think a real problem with any film where you're meant to be scared or what, like any problem with a film that has a big bad antagonist, is when you start cheering for said antagonist. And any time a little kid goes off on their own in this film, I'm like, you fucking little idiot, I hope he gets you.
But don't you see that? Doesn't that happen with every horror film, though?
Yes, and that's why I hate horror films.
So you've just automatically blanketed this film as it's a horror, I hate it, I don't care what's going to happen.
Yeah, because it
is
bog standard horror, and so many people say it rises above the genre when it's not. It's in the muck.
Yeah, this is nothing but jump scares in this movie. Like, it's just jump scare after jump scare. It's basically as bad as those movies where you hear a fucking cat in the background to try scare you. Like, that's basically what this movie does.
I disagree completely. I don't think this had the definition of a jump scare. This has... Like,
you don't think there's a single jump scare in this movie? Are you high?
I don't think Kendo knows what a jump
define a jump scare as something that I anticipate is going to happen. Like it's out of the norm. This was fluent with their jump scares. I didn't feel any jump scares in this film.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll actually 100% agree with that, because when you see Georgie and Pennywise at the start of the sewer, it's like he's being friendly to him. He's getting him to sort of let his guard down a little bit. And you as the viewer going, yeah, that kid's going to fucking die. But as you're watching the film, like you're expecting that because like, yep, the kid's talking to a clown, you know, kids and clowns, fair enough. And then we're not expecting a jump scare. There are some scenes here and there that are like, fuck, that's good. But it's not a constant jump scare film.
I have to agree to disagree there.
That's fine. That's what a debate is. It's agreeing and disagreeing.
Look, I don't know what you guys are all banging on about on the negative side of the table. This film is unsettling as fuck. Are you trying to tell me when they're cutting fucking Ben's, or his name into Ben's gut, that you weren't squirming in your seat? This film, it does so much more than just try and be a horror film. I will, as I said before in my argument, I'll agree it's not the scariest film of all time, but it's a very effective film in that you get to connect with and emote for these characters. And that's all film is trying to do. And for the three of you, the only three people in the world who hate this movie, to somehow found each
so
other
not true.
Through the reaches of podcast land, it's beautiful in a way, but I'm sorry. I'm just sorry for the how miserable your lives must be.
There are dozens of us. We also, it's possible that there's more of us think that the way to revive an unconscious girl is not to kiss her without consent.
Yeah, someone retort that.
Well, it was exactly. it was that or the orgy scene. I think that was down the right path.
Yeah, yeah. If your choices are kiss a girl and bring her back from unconsciousness or essentially do six dudes in a sewer. If you look at the scene as well, when the first scene that the kids are actually see Pennywise, because he was always hidden in a tent when he wasn't actually filming. The first scene in it, chapter one, where the kids actually see Pennywise is when Eddie's fallen through the roof and Pennywise comes out of the fridge. And if you look at the actor who's playing Eddie, you can see he is freaked the fuck out big time, because it's the first time he's seeing Pennywise. But Bill Skarsgård is not breaking character. He's not saying, hi, how are you? He's just appearing from a fridge and acting. And you can see the full-on fear in their eyes as well.
I love how little faith they actually had with these actors to be able to act like they're scared. So they had to actually hide the big bad. Because, you know, if they actually said to him, right, now you've got to act scared, it would just fall apart, wouldn't it?
But look at Alien, though. They didn't tell everyone that fucking chestburster was going to come out of someone's chest.
You're comparing
chest
this to Alien?
That particular form
me
of
up,
acting.
The Alien's far superior, right?
Xenomorphs don't just irritate you to death.
That particular form of acting, though, not telling the actors what's going on, so then when the cameras are rolling, they're completely unaware, like they're freaking out. Like, that's a similar thing to what they did with It, is they didn't show any of the kids what Pennywise looked like. They just said he's going to come out of the fridge, he's going to act, and they did. And similar to Alien, they didn't say that the chest burster was going to come out of John Hurt's chest.
Yeah, genuine
just
reaction.
Were wearing raincoats.
Showing
yeah.
how scary this Pennywise is, to have an actual character, an actual actor, see them for the first time and get the shit scared out of him. I mean, does that not sum it up perfect?
Well, I'm glad someone was scared by Pennywise at least.
Sam, you know, if this was a New Zealand movie set in New Zealand, this would be a five-star amazing film. Just wanted to, you know...
Get the New Zealand, fuck
like,
out.
Yeah, who's I love next? How you feel like you need to do this because you realize you've lost this already. Yeah. So the only way you can actually have a chance is to try and butter up the judge here.
No, I think we're going to get 3 points out of this one.
Look, anyone who's actually read the book knows that there's actually not that much Pennywise in the book. And that's my biggest problem with the film, is the amount of this clown they're trying to cram in there. It's like someone looked at the book cover with a picture of a clown on it and adapted it just from looking at that. Because, you know, you're right. What he's meant to do is try create fear and play off fear. And that's what I don't get from the movie. It's just a clown chasing a bunch of kids until the final act is them literally beating him with sticks. I don't find kids beating a clown with sticks that interesting.
Can I break ranks here and say something positive about It?
Yes, ooh, yes, do it.
You can if you want. It's a risky movie.
Better than Chapter 2.
It is better than Chapter 2, that's for sure.
If you didn't like a lot of clown in Chapter 1, well, then let me tell you.
Oh, fuck. Chapter 2 was abysmal. Yeah,
okay. Oh, woof.
I'm so glad
I'm not going to give my thoughts
that.
On that because we record in like 2 hours for that, so I'm going to keep that very dark.
Us too.
Yeah, we're recording straight after this. Yeah,
yeah. You've heard it here. Chapter 1 is better than Chapter 2. That put that in your notes there, Sam.
It's not better a than high at least.
You haven't even seen Chapter 2, Hendo.
I don't care. All I heard then, put it like it's one of those tabloids. Billy and Topher say chapter one, better film.
Yep, it is at, you know, it's at least the second worst film ever. From what we're saying here.
At least, put that on even, the poster.
Okay,
though.
Okay, look.
No, I don't know. Have you seen 2018 Halloween? That's pretty bad.
Tommy Boy. Yeah.
Halloween 2018, that's pretty bad.
Better than it.
Yeah, I'd actually agree with that.
Yeah, definitely better than it.
Halloween sucks.
Oh, this has been interesting, guys. Wayne, what do you think? I'm going to throw it over to you.
I've been enjoying the negative people more. I've just been enjoying them more. Okay.
Yeah.
It's more Barbie. It's just piss funny. And I hate horror movies. So what are you going to do, right? So that's just me.
Or if I really may summarize the negative team in a one Wayne quote.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, man. Man, all right, fuck this shit. All right?
Perfection.
Okay, I'm gonna have to call it. Yeah, I'm with you, Wayne. I think the negative team just had a bit more than the positive team.
Bait.
That being said, MVP of this entire debate has got to be Doody. My God, you brought it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you did, man. Yeah, the facts and my favorite line of this entire episode so far is he's not a Michael Myers of a cunt. Easily my favorite line.
Well done, boys. Well done. Good fun.
Well done.
Yeah.
Good job, guys.
Well done to the negatives. Good work, guys.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh. Good job, Tank.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Anyway, this has been an amazing first attempt at a movie masturbate. I think we've all had fun. I think we're all still going to be friends after this. Maybe
we've learned something today.
Don't know about that.
Absolutely. Now, we'll do all of us will do a plug for our podcast. And Wayne and Paul, why don't you lead us off?
Oh, well, thank you, Sam, for hosting today. Thanks to all the other competitors. It's been a lot of fun, as much as it might have sounded like we got really narky with each other. At least at this end, it was we had a good laugh.
I was a little scared.
You can find us on Twitter at The Countdown PC, via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, and we have a Facebook listed community. Search for The Countdown Movie and TV Reviews on Facebook. Cheers. Word.
Cool. Next up in alphabetical order is the IMDb Journey podcast. Tell us all about yours.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and hear more of Dean and I just verbally bashing each other every episode over other movies and everything in general, you can check us out at all the other regular podcast catches, you know, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, blah, 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 Spotify, all that regular jazz. You can get hold of us on Twitter at IMDb Journey and as well as Facebook as facebook.com/IMDb Journey.
Excellent. And of course, Doody, the MVP, why don't you tell us all about Shaken Not Nerd?
Yep. So Shaken Not Nerd, we release twice a week. Of course, there's the Shaken Not Nerd episodes releasing on Monday, where this week we'll be talking about It Chapter 2. And on Fridays, we do a video game one called Shaken Not Noob. And we've just talked about Gears of War 5 and the Gears of War Melbourne event. And we'll be talking about Ghost Recon Breakpoint and Man of Medan horror game this week.
Excellent.
So that's all at Shaken Not Nerd.
Excellent. And then finally, Topher and Tommy Boy's only fan, Billy. B Dizzle, why don't you tell us about what we watched?
Well, thanks everyone. This was legit fun. We love all of you guys' shows, which is how this all kind of came together. You can find us at wewatchthething.com or We Watch The Thing at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
And of course, me as your host, Sam Hurley, I co-host the podcast Movie Reviews and 20 Qs, show where we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. And yeah, find us same apps you can find all these guys. Or over on Twitter at Movie Reviews In or Facebook at Movie Reviews and 20 Qs. Anyway, thanks, guys. Thanks for everything. Oh, as I said, judging a whole bunch of Australians. Fuck, I've never been this erect.
And to all you members of Team Positive, I still respect you and... But, you know, I especially respect your views more than Billy's, so.
It's funny because he's not joking.